Hello and welcome everyone to Leaders in Elder Care, the interview series designed to share with you some of the many people that are doing just fantastic things in elder care. In fact, many of these people are folks that aren't typically on TV or get a lot of publicity, but these are the folks that are in the trenches and are really changing the faces of elder care as we know it today. I'm Ryan Malone. I'm the founder of Inside Elder Care and your host of Leaders in Elder Care. Before we start, I'd like to remind you to subscribe to the podcast. You can do so at leadersineldercare.com by clicking on the subscribe button in the top right-hand corner of the screen, or you can also subscribe through iTunes via the normal subscription process. So let's get started. Joining us today is Suzanne Andrews. Suzanne is a licensed occupational therapist, practitioner, and fitness expert. She's also the host of Functional Fitness, which, if you haven't had a chance to see it, is a really interesting fitness show that airs on PBS TV. So, Suzanne, so nice to have you on the show today.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, we really appreciate it. I know we're really excited to speak about the topic today, so let's just jump right in. So what is functional fitness?
Well, that's a great question. Functional fitness is a type of workout that concentrates specifically on training your body to cope with real-life situations, and it uses real-life body mechanics. Now, this technique takes fitness to an entirely new level because it combines multiple muscle groups and joint movements to work together instead of isolating them to function separately. So, you know, when you go to the gym and you work out on machines, that's terrific, but the machines don't prepare you for everyday life. You know, a patient came to me after a back injury and said that they didn't understand because they went to the gym 3 times a week and they felt much stronger, and yet they went on a trip and had to carry their suitcase by themselves and they hurt their back. So why is that? And that's because exercising on a machine and performing functional exercise are really, really different. And here's why. Well, I'll give you an example of a functional exercise. Okay, tricep extensions performed with dumbbells on a bench is a functional fitness exercise, whereas a seated exercise on a machine, actually you're isolating that muscle group. So that's not a functional exercise. So exercises performed on either a bench or without the use of machines integrates muscles of your back, your shoulders, your arms, and your legs to stabilize your body, which makes the exercise dynamic, meaning your body is in motion. And when you're comparing this dynamic exercise to an occupational therapist bending over to transfer a patient or a person putting away groceries, they're similar because both functional activities require the person to use a variety of muscles. But, you know, if you do a seated tricep extension on the machine that isolates the tricep muscle, then guess what's doing the work? The machine does most of the work, and that movement, it doesn't really mimic real life activities.
Yeah, it makes me want to go and change my whole gym workout now. How
you get amazing workout with functional exercise. It's incredible.
How, you know, give me some examples of, you know, maybe the top 2 or 3 most common, you know, functional movements that you typically teach.
Okay, well, for instance, okay, in real life, when you're carrying a suitcase, right, you have to bend over to retrieve something. Now, reaching into your closet, you don't just use one muscle group to perform those functional activities, right? So that's why when you train at the gym for months and even years on the machine, and one day you go to put your groceries away and, you know, you hurt your back because you strained your back. So functional exercises are specific exercises that work the entire body. So if you're working out with dumbbells, for instance, and say you're bent over and you're doing a tricep extension, you're working your core muscles, your back muscles, and your arm muscles. So you're really being functional. And then if you're standing up, you're also working on your balance.
Very, very interesting. So in our previous conversation, you know, I know that you cover a lot of age ranges. How specifically does functional fitness help the elderly?
Well, as we age, we lose our ability to perform activities of daily living. And these are activities that we take for granted when we're younger, but that becomes difficult as we get older. See, functional fitness allows you to defy age rather than letting age defy you. Recent research has found that age has little impact on your muscle strength, which is terrific because that means we can actually empower ourselves as we get older. Now, leading a sedentary lifestyle is a culprit of functional loss. So a study done by the University of New Hampshire found that elderly women can increase muscle strength as much as young women. Neat. And then from my own experience, I know that that doesn't only relate to women, that also relates to men. The study was made up of two groups of inactive women who spent 8 weeks exercising their knee extensor muscles, and that's those muscles are really important for walking and going upstairs and getting up from a chair.
Mm-hmm.
So the older group was aged 65 to 84, and they increased their strength the same percentage as the younger group aged 18 to 34.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So since functional fitness focuses on real-life fitness for real-life challenges, it's really ideal for the elder population. But since the focus is on prevention, the sooner you start, the better off you'll be. 40 years old is a great age to start, and even younger if you can, because you can be 40 and then be in an 80-year-old body.
So that's actually how I felt when I played basketball yesterday.
Yeah,
how you know,
I thought like that too before because I used to weigh 60 pounds heavier or so.
One of the things that was so fascinating about your work was that it crossed so many generations. So how... And one of the things that popped up into my head is just is mm-hmm. how do you modify the workouts so that you're still addressing the same issues with the same philosophy, but maybe someone who's 80 or 85 years old has different limits than somebody who is 40 years old.
Well, actually, yes, occupational therapy practitioners, what we do is we grade up the exercise. So a person might start off seated, and then they can actually go ahead and stand and then progress from there. Some people start off doing it in bed. Never tell a therapist that you just want to lie down in bed. They have about 100 exercises that you can do in bed. There's a lot of specific, I have an example of, someone I helped with functional fitness, an older person. Kind of retains to that, if you want to hear about that.
Yeah, I would love to. In fact, you kind of read my mind a little bit. So I know that you shared a couple success stories with me when we spoke. So, I'd like you to share them with everyone if you can.
Okay, well, there's a lot of people I remember, but I really remember this one man. He was 72 years old, and he was at the assisted living facility where I worked as a therapist. And he couldn't walk, he couldn't even dress, he couldn't shower by himself because he had really, really bad back pain. So he was one of those people that was lying in bed. I came in there into his room because he would not come over to the therapy room, and he told me that he didn't want to get out of bed. Well, don't tell me that. I made him do the exercises, and he consented after a while, a lot of coaxing to finally do some exercises in bed. And we also had him evaluated by his doctor. And unfortunately, his doctor told him he had only 6 months or less to live because he had cancer.
Mm.
But I didn't want to stop. I just didn't want to give up on him. Kept working with him. And we did functional fitness exercises every day. And soon he was walking. And then he was brushing his teeth, which was great, dressing. And then he was taken off hospice. He lived an extra 2 years.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic.
When a person only has, a few months, 2 years is a lot.
That is absolutely fantastic. I know, one of the reasons I was so interested in speaking to you is I had mentioned that my mom, when she got to assisted living, arrived in what they call two-person max assist, and you know that term, but for the people listening, that means that it takes two people to move an individual. And my mom needed what they call a Hoyer lift, which is a hand-operated hydraulic kind of crane, if you will, because they can put you in a sling and it's much safer to move you. And, with the help of some therapy and some good TLC, she actually walked to my wedding about a year later. So
that's
I've
wonderful.
Seen the types of things that you do work really well. How does your role...
That's the best success for us. When we see that happen.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine. How does your role as an occupational therapist play into your being able to deliver some success to the folks that you work with?
Well, You know, well, that is our biggest success, is watching people go from being able to not function at all to being able to function. And what really, really motivated me to get it out to the public, not just to patients, is that, you know, if a person who has a stroke can heal and get well, or a patient who has Parkinson's can increase their ability to function and their balance, then just imagine what it can do just to the regular, you know, for the regular population, and just seeing that success. And I had a lot of people out there have arthritis. I remember I had another patient, and she had arthritis so bad that she couldn't get out of a wheelchair because of the pain. Mm. And that only made the pain worse. And the goal of arthritis treatment is to reduce inflammation and minimize pain and increase your ability to function. So while increasing blood flow and providing nutrients to your body, a functional workout keeps your muscles around your joints strong, and it diminishes joint pain. So strong that the patient mentioned earlier she was able to walk, and once again, you know, she could participate in all her activities of daily living, including going to the bathroom, because, yes, arthritis, if it's left untreated, it can even make going to the bathroom painful, and that's a subject that a lot of people don't want to talk about, but if you can't, you know, sit down and stand up without pain, that will really impair your function.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, one of the, obviously, you know, anybody who goes through elder care realizes that, you know, unless you're protected financially up to the mm-hmm. eyeballs, it can get really expensive. So, you know, the question that I always ask is, you know, how can something like functional fitness, you know, affect medical bills or the cost of elder care in general?
Well, that is a terrific question, especially with our health care, you know, right now, all the questions that are being asked about it and the economy. You know, and there's an accountant I know, and he's an author, Ed Gardner, and he claims that the average couple between the ages of 65 and 85 spend $232,000 on health-related expenses. So in 20 years, that's a lot of money. And since functional fitness's medically documented results include increasing range of motion and decreasing pain, increasing strength and improving blood pressure, decreasing injury risk, and helping people lose their weight, elderly people can become empowered to take charge of their own health by being an active participant in their own health care plan, right there under their feet. Everybody has that ability right there within them. So rather than waiting until you're disabled from a lack of physical activity, functional fitness offers people over 40 the ability to get fit without hurting themselves, and also on being kind to the joints. There's a lot of programs out there that are for 20-something and 30-something and teen-something, but there's really not a lot available for people over 40. We do have special needs when we're over 40. We do have to be kind to our joints, and yet we want to be fit and able to do whatever it is we want in life.
So it sounds like it's a preventative program.
Yes, very preventative, yes. However, if a person does happen to have, you know, arthritis or diabetes or something wrong with their back, it can also help with that too. And, you know, osteoporosis, because each program is specifically, takes into consideration the person's specific condition. So there's specific exercises for certain conditions.
So, so let's talk a little bit more about that. So is there a specific program for people that have a different medical condition, or how does that work? And maybe you can give us an example of a typical condition and how you might modify it.
Oh, sure. Okay. Well, you know, the elderly, they often live with medical aspects that need to be taken into consideration when designing an exercise program. And sometimes you can go to a class and the instructor, unless they've been through a degreed exercise physiology or a therapy program, they don't really know about that. So that's why it is really important, you know, to get a program where the person really knows for a specific condition. For instance, if you have osteoporosis, what's the best exercise program? Well, I develop bone builders it has specific bone building exercises, and it also educates the person on what not to do, what we call contraindicators. You know, like bending forward at the waist, because did you know if a person has osteoporosis and they bend forward at the waist, they can actually cause a fracture. So you don't want to do that. And then we also have a program for arthritis. It focuses on decreasing or eliminating arthritis pain and increasing your range of motion. A lot of times people lose the range of motion because they don't, they just don't move as much anymore. So for many years, doctors thought that arthritis would damage your joints. But fortunately now, doctors are on board and they know the importance of exercise as a very important and significant contributing factor to reducing and eliminating arthritis pain. Thank goodness. And then there's another overlooked area, which is balance. We all lose our balance as we get older, and there are specific exercises people can do to prevent the loss of balance. And a lot of us don't even realize we're losing our balance. That's why we really have to do exercises as early as possible.
And do these take into account things like walking aids, like walkers and canes? And
yes, actually. And, you know, I have people, though, that take the functional fitness class, and they're not using anything at all. And some people can actually get off of those walkers and canes. Of course, some people do need them, and that really is up to, you know, the doctor or therapist to take a look at them and evaluate them.
Very cool.
But it doesn't mean we all have to end up with those walkers or canes or wheelchairs.
That's true. My wife's grandmother is 87. And still, when she wants something from the supermarket, walks, 2.5 miles, 2 miles.
Wow.
Carries back a bag of groceries. She's a former doctor, so I think she has taken care of herself, but she's got far more energy than I.
That's great. Well, my father-in-law, too, he's 88, and he walks 2 miles a day. No pain, nothing. He's really popular there at the assisted living facility.
Key.
Yeah,
so
do
people need a gym for the program?
No, actually, I have DVDs. Right now we have 8 functional fitness DVDs, all for specific related conditions. There's one for arthritis, one for diabetes. I have actually one for COPD and asthma. That helps you learn breathing techniques and better balance. And actually one for brain power, really good for dementia, Alzheimer's, and just to increase your cognitive functioning, your brain functioning. So
what's the frequency that, how long does a typical regimen take, and then how many times a week do you recommend that people follow it?
Well, actually, it's a good idea for people to do it 5 days a week. Each of the DVDs they have 2 programs on there, except the Brain Power only has 1 because that's all you need with the Brain Power. But they have 2, and they're only 25 minutes long each program, so they can do one day and then the other the next day so they don't get bored. And if they do it 5 days a week, 8 weeks. I'm not going to tell you it's going to work in just 1 week because that's not true. If anybody tells you that, no, it doesn't work that way. You have to put some effort into it to get the results, but the results are definitely worth it.
That's really interesting, especially because the long workouts, are so hard to fit into your schedule and to get through, that if you can make it fairly quickly, I would assume that the percentage of people that can actually stay on track for 8 weeks is far higher.
Yes, and actually, the reason why I made it for 25 minutes is a lot of times after you've worked out for an hour, even if you do have that time, it's exhausting. You don't really need to work out that long, that hard to get results. So that's the difference between functional fitness workout and a real hard, hard workout.
Well, this was so interesting when we spoke. I'm really happy that we had a chance to dig into it a little bit deeper. Before we go, can you share, I want to make sure that you have a chance to share with everybody, how they can find out more information about yourself or your program.
Oh, sure. They can go to my website, www.healthwiseexercise.com. And if you want functional fitness in your area, just contact your local PBS station and ask them to air functional fitness as soon as it becomes available in your area. Or you can always email me at Suzanne@healthwiseexercise.com, and I'll do it for you.
Great. Well, fantastic. Thank you so much for your time today, Suzanne. It's obviously been such a pleasure learning more about functional fitness. And we appreciate spending time with you, and I certainly appreciate you being a leader in elder care.
Well, thanks, Ron. It's been a pleasure.
So for our listeners out there, a quick reminder to check out two websites. One is Inside Elder Care. It's a by families, for families approach to helping families deal with elder care issues. You can get to it at insideeldercare.com. And the second one, which is called Portrait of Our Parents, it's a storytelling website designed to share some of the memories that you have of your parent or grandparent in a way that everybody can see. That's reachable at portraitofourparents.com. So thanks, everybody, for listening, and have a great day, and be sure to come back and listen again soon.